This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The ninth of the so-called Days of Rage in Egypt erupted into violence today as pro- and anti-government protesters clashed in Cairo's Tahrir Square.
What began as an exchange of chants and insults quickly became much worse. At one point, pro-Mubarak supporters on horses and camels plowed through the crowd using whips and sticks.
And then today, things turned terribly, terribly violent.
There's fights breaking out all over the place.
Last week, online protests were temporarily thwarted when the internet was shut down. Still, Egyptians were heard through a new service that let them record their phone messages to Twitter.
Salam alaikum. أنا عندي سؤال لكل رجل شريف على وجه الأرض إن كان هو أوباما.
حسن مبارك أثبت أنه مش رئيس دولة، ده رئيس عصابة، ده رئيس عصابات منظمة.
فليش يخلي الناس تعذب أكثر والدماء تنزل أكثر؟
The voices coming out of Egypt are many, and they are young. One-third of Egypt's population is below the age of 14. Half are younger than 30. Many are educated, well-connected, and deeply concerned about the future of their country. And many are right here in Boston. On today's Talker, Days of Rage and the Youth of Egypt through the stories of young Egyptians in Boston. You can join us. Egyptian Americans, what are you hearing from your friends and your families in Egypt? Have you known a world without Hosni Mubarak, without President Hosni Mubarak? And can you imagine one? Are you excited or fearful for the country you are about to inherit? And all listeners, what is your message for the youth of Egypt now? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by four young people with deep ties to Egypt. First, Ibrahim Samir. He's 18 years old and a student at Northeastern University. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Also with us is his roommate, Habib El Magrisi, who is also 18 and originally from Cairo as well. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks.
With us as well is Ina El Hadidi. She's 25 and currently a part-time student at UMass Boston. Welcome to you. And with us is Dr. Hashem Hamoda. He's 30 and a recent graduate of the Harvard School of Public Health, and he's an instructor of psychiatry also at Harvard. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Megan. I'm glad to be here.
So what a day we saw today in Cairo with the clashes and the violence there in Tahrir Square. But Ina, let's start with you. You have actual family who were out in the streets of Cairo today?
No, not in Cairo, actually, in Alexandria.
In Alexandria.
Yeah, and there were clashes with police since yesterday and actually since Friday. And it's been ongoing, violent, and right now it's police that are in plain clothes and also protesters, pro-Mubarak protesters. And they've come prepared, armed with weapons. They came in to confront the people. They were trying to rile them up. They were upsetting them. And then they were physically harming them. And there's no one there to protect them because, as you can see, the police is actually on the side of the pro-Mubarak demonstrators and the regime in general. So the people have been forced to defend themselves, basically. Mm.
Ibrahim, you moved here about 6 months ago from Cairo. Cairo, and your family is still all there?
Yeah, my family's still back in Cairo.
So what was today like for them?
Today was different, to say the least. I mean, the way things started out yesterday, there was a lot of hope, to say. Like, you could say that after Mubarak's speech, people were hopeful that perhaps the protests will end now and people will be appeased, but that wasn't the case, and the people turned against. They didn't enjoy the speech at all, and they still want him to leave. So it took a turn for the worse, definitely, today. I mean, the violence that happened isn't what this revolution was about at all. This was all about the people of Egypt coming together, and what's happening right now definitely isn't what we were hoping for.
All the TV images were from Tahrir Square, but was there a sense of unrest and unease even away from that central part of Cairo?
There definitely was. I mean, in different parts of the city, at least. I mean, the police were nowhere to be found for about a couple of days, so people took it upon themselves to protect themselves. They formed like these vigilante groups. And in many instances, like, for example, at my grandmother's place, there were people there that tried to get in, and then the people did protect them. But, I mean, it's all around the city, or it was, at least.
Yeah, and Habib, how is your family, and what happened to them today?
My family live in a little bit of an isolated part of Cairo, but nevertheless, they've required tanks and army presence to protect them. There's been checkpoints from both the army and civilians, and my dad actually is part of the neighborhood watch, I guess you could call it that. And he's just doing rounds and handing out food to people who are in need. And at the moment, they're safe. I spoke to them over the phone a couple hours ago, but they're very disappointed with what's happening.
Your family is Coptic Christian, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So do they feel any particular sense of unease with how much uncertainty there is in terms of what's going to come next for Egypt?
Well, yesterday I was thinking that the overwhelming feeling in my head of what's going on in Egypt is pride, because a couple of months ago there was a bombing at a church in Alexandria. And so there was great tension between Muslim Egyptians and Coptic Egyptians. But then suddenly, over these protests, we've seen people come together and sort of be united in a way that never thought possible. And then you hear stories in the news of Christians protecting Muslims while they pray and vice versa. And it's really great to hear. But at the moment, the overwhelming fear is for the Egyptian people as a whole, not Copts or Muslims separately.
And Hashem, your family is, you've been back and forth living in Egypt for a little while, but then in Canada, I believe, and here in the United States. So where is your family currently in Egypt?
Right now, my mother resides in Alexandria, and she's actually had to leave to a more rural city called Debenhur, which is a capital in the governance of Egypt.
Because of the unrest?
Because of the unrest and concern about the entire situation in the country.
Okay, so let me ask all of you. I mean, we've invited you here because we've heard that there is so much of what's propelled Egypt back onto the world stage in this revolution was driven by young people, by people with access to the internet, who have very strong feelings about what they want their country to be. I mean, is it true? Is this a revolution of Egyptians' youth?
I do believe this is a revolution from the Egyptian youth. This is a popular movement by all sectors of the society. Young are the ones who initiate it, but it's caught speed with every sector of the society, every age group, every part of the diversity that exists in the Egyptian society.
I mean, because today I was just looking on, I was trying to keep up with all the tweets and the Twitter updates with the hashtag Egypt or hashtag January 25th. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. I mean, it actually crashed my computer. So how much of this does have to do with the fact that young Egyptians can be so connected over the internet?
I mean, the fact is Egypt basically has been silenced for the last 30 plus years. I would consider it more 50 years, where Egyptians have been trying to get their voice heard, and they have been trying to let the world know that they deserve a democracy. They're also human beings, that they don't deserve to be under dictatorships just because they are allies of the U.S. You know, Egyptians, they want to be heard, and they want to be heard in fair and free elections. They want to be heard on a free and open internet, and they don't want to be looking over their shoulder for secret police or government agents. I mean, 1.7 million people who are employed by the Interior Ministry, that's unheard of.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Well, in my opinion, what's happening right now is that the word demonstration isn't being used as much as the word revolution. It has become a revolution in all sense of the words. And in my opinion, that what needs to happen is that Hosni Mubarak needs to leave now, not as he stated in his speech yesterday. After his speech yesterday, I actually felt a little bit of sympathy for him, because he has served the country well over 30 years, and he has been our leader. He did fight in the wars. He's a military man. But after what happened today, after the stories we're hearing about paid thugs going into Tahrir Square to instigate violence and things like that, the only feeling like I can sort of get out of my head is that I'm angry. When I woke up this morning and I saw this, I'm angry, because Hosni Mubarak is not keeping his word. He's doing nothing to try and protect the people of Egypt that he yesterday claimed he was so proud to be one of. And in my opinion, there needs to be free and fair elections, like Ina said, but they need to happen now, not in September.
Ibrahim, do you feel the same way, that a rush to a new set of elections?
Well, sort of. I mean, following on the fact that Habib said that Mubarak, you wouldn't say he's... I would say that he isn't a man of his word, following what we heard yesterday and what's happened today. And the fact that I'm feeling is that I feel like Mubarak's sort of blinded by his own idea or concept or notion that he's protecting the country and he's doing what's right. I feel that he's not acknowledging the fact that the people just want him out. He's not acknowledging the revolution in any way possible. He hasn't accepted that, okay, these are legitimate claims, and this was shown by the fact that his government, the NDP, ordered the police out onto the protesters. So, I mean, it's just, it's disappointing to see that in the end we fell into the same trap, or many people fell into the same trap, of just believing what he'd say and accepting his words.
You know, President Mubarak is 82 years old. He's been in power in Egypt for almost three decades. I mean, that's longer than at least that three of you have been alive, and basically as long as you've been alive, Hashem. I mean, you have never known an Egypt without this man in power. How, can you imagine the nation without him?
Yes. I mean, that's the question here, because most Egyptians are afraid to say yes, you know, because they've only known this and they want to say yes. But their stability, the issue of stability is now coming up on families, and it's coming up fast. And people are starting to think, when am I going to get back to my job? When am I going to be able to go to the supermarket and not find it looted and find some food to bring home to my family? Now they're like, let's just let him sit out the next 6 months and then he's going to put in free and fair elections. We can always trust Mubarak. And I do agree with both Habib and Ibrahim, because they said you can't trust him anymore. They both had told me that they believed that they could trust him prior to what happened this morning. And now I think he's just betrayed the Egyptian public.
Hashem?
Meghna, Egypt's a country of 80 million people, 5,000 years of civilization, most numerous Nobel Prize laureates in the Arab world. Definitely there is an Egypt without Mubarak, and it's definitely going to be a better Egypt without Mubarak. This country has always been rich of its talent and young generation, and we will definitely be doing better when Mubarak leaves.
We are talking about the youth of Egypt, and many of them who are based right here in Boston. What's your question for them? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take a call right now. Angie's calling from Wellesley. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello.
What's your thought today?
I just want to tell the Egyptian people, especially people in Alexandria, that I'm with them in heart and spirit, and I support everything they do.
Did you say you have family in Alexandria?
I do.
And have you been able to reach them, Angie?
I have heard this morning from a close relative who's actually in Cairo that he's okay, his family's okay, but the situation on the street is pretty bad. And I heard from Alexandria last Saturday.
Oh, thank you so much for your call, Angie. The one question I have for all of you as well is this: what is the reality of life like for youth who are in Egypt, for your cousins and your second cousins, for people that you know who are living there, who aren't here in the United States? I mean, we've heard there's a high degree of unemployment, and that even for those young Egyptians, many of them who are very well educated. So, like, tell us, put us in their shoes. What is life like for them right now?
Well, Magna, let me tell you something. If we were to be having this discussion we're having right now in Egypt 2 weeks ago, we would not be able to survive. I mean, this is unheard of. It's you do not criticize Mubarak. You do not criticize the ruling regime. You do not have freedom of speech, freedom of expression. These things don't exist in Egypt, and they haven't existed over the last 30 years. So for a youth to survive in Egypt, it's rather tough, especially if it's one with revolutionary ideas. And the very fact that people manage to organize via the internet, social media like Facebook and Twitter, is testimony to the will of the Egyptian people. But the thing about the Egyptian people is, at this stage, they know what they don't want, and that's Mubarak. But they don't know what they do want. And when it's reached that stage where people don't know what they want, but they know what they don't want, you know it's time for change.
Ina, you know, earlier you were telling our producer, Dan Mazzi, something which I thought was absolutely fascinating, that because of the high unemployment rate and the fact that so many young Egyptians are so well connected over the internet, that you call this an internet revolution, but not because of people connecting over Facebook since January 25th.
Yeah, no, I don't think actually that Facebook and Twitter can take sole credit for this. I mean, this is an Egyptian revolution, and it's an internet revolution, because Egyptians finally have the freedom of press and expression, and now they get to read about what's going on in the rest of the world. What happened in Tunisia, it was just the straw that broke the camel's back, I mean, to use that one. But honestly, it was just everyone was looking around in Egypt and being like, what are we doing here? We're just standing around. And then when a few weeks passed after Zain al-Abidine Ben Ali was ousted and Egypt didn't do anything, I was like, oh, I'm going to give up hope. You know, this is just another one of those things. And when I got the Facebook invitation, I was like, oh, please. And then when Tuesday, all these people turned out, it was so inspiring. And I couldn't even believe it. I've never been more proud to be an Egyptian, and especially an Egyptian young person. You know, it's the best time in the world right now, though it is a difficult and trying time.
So part of the reason was that people have access once again have access to the internet. But you had also mentioned to Dan that because there's so much unemployment, it was the outlet for people.
Yeah, I mean, that's an unfortunate side effect. But when people are, I mean, there are figures that coming out, people under the age of 25, 80% are unemployed, you know, and these are college grads. These are not people who have been sitting around, so they have nothing to do. They're well off, they're middle class. So they they sit at home, they read the news, they see what's going on in the world, they tweet, they Facebook message, whatever, they get connected.
Are these the same people who we are seeing in the streets of Cairo?
They're definitely the same people. But that's not the only people. That's important for us not to fall into this trap that the Mubarak administration regime has tried to get us to believe. You know, the fact is, this is now spread across Egypt. This bypasses religious lines, socioeconomic lines, or even educational lines, or age lines also. I mean, the youth may be at the forefront, but it's not a solely youth movement.
Let's get another call in here. Omar's calling from Worcester. Welcome to Radio Boston, Omar.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great. What's your thought? Yep, what's your thought?
I mean, I just wanted to say, you know, it's pretty obvious, you know, anybody who's watching the news, I mean, unless you're living under a rock, what the Egyptian people and, you know, Egyptians all around the world want. You know, obviously they want Hosni Mubarak out. You know, us youth, we have never known another, you know, president besides Mubarak. And, you know, I think it's just a real shame, you know, how he's being really stubborn and, you know, very, you know, ignorant about what the people want. And he's trying everything he can to silence the protests. You know, he's shutting down the internet. It's never been done before, like, in history, I think. You know, he's sending out people to, like, you know, hurt people in the streets. He's trying to intimidate them by, you know, flying fighter planes right over, you know, the city. I was just talking to a friend in Egypt this past Sunday. He's saying they were flying the planes so low they were shaking the buildings.
Hmm.
You know, but despite all that, you know, Egypt continues to protest and continues to fight for what they believe in.
Omar, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here. Caleb is calling from Somerville. Caleb, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask your guests about their perception of economic inequality in Egypt and its relationship to policies of the Mubarak administration. I've read that, you know, over 40% of people in Egypt live on less than $2 a day. And there was a protest last May about, you know, exceedingly low minimum wage. What's interesting to me is that many of the galvanizers of the protests have been connected to the internet and, you know, they're taking pictures with their phones. I'm sure these are not the people who are living on less than $2 a day. So what are your reflections in your own youth about economic inequality and the demographic that is contributing to this revolution in relationship to that particular issue and to Mubarak's administration?
Caleb, thanks so much for your call. Hashim, do you want to take that?
Yes, economic inequality is huge in Egypt. The minimum wage is around $75 a month, and that's after it's been recently increased due to demonstrations. The people who are on the streets are a combination of people who have phones, who can take pictures, but a lot of the general people who are part of the country, people who are uneducated or people who are unemployed, people who are demanding their rights. I think that some of these social tools and networking has allowed these people to organize and kind of mobilize and be part of the spark that's ignited the whole country. But they're definitely not just the people who are privileged who are behind that. And just to look at any of the pictures on the street would show you that people are very diverse who participate in these protests.
Let's get another call in here. Esla is calling from Plymouth. Esla, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Magna. I just wanted to voice my disappointment in our American government of not supporting the Egyptian people. I am originally from Egypt, and I'm so proud of my country and what they're trying to do. And America, they are trying, they say that they are for democracy, but they're not supporting the people. This is very disappointing.
Mm. Esla, thank you so much for your call. Habib, let me actually throw that to you because, you know, we've heard President Obama say that change must happen now, but he said that yesterday. Previously, we've heard other Western leaders say we also must remember that President Mubarak was a friend of the West.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that viewpoint. I do think that the hesitancy that the U.S. government showed in choosing a side between the protesters and Mubarak definitely did portray them in a negative light. And I do agree that I was very disappointed in that they didn't choose to back democracy as they so claim. And I mean, the protesters' demands were very clear. They were legitimately claiming for a free and fair elections. They were calling for Mubarak to step down. And the fact that the U.S. government took such a long time to finally decide. I mean, you see Hillary Clinton go up and say that, we must have a smooth transition. We must, and they never mention that Mubarak must step down. They don't recognize the fact that he is part of the problem. I mean, people have been singing him out, but I don't want that to appear to be the case. I mean, it's a fault of his entire system, not only him. I mean, definitely he's a main culprit, but it's the entire system that's in place, not only him.
Let me ask you all a question. Here you are witnessing this uprising, this revolution, this massive change happening in Egypt, and you're in Boston, which is, you know, we love to consider this the seat of the American Revolution. I mean, does that strike you as being, does that give you a particular lens? I mean, because we're steeped in so much revolutionary history here regarding how Americans, quote unquote, won their freedom. Does that make you see what's going on in Egypt any differently than you think you otherwise might have?
I mean, I grew up... Oh, sorry, you want to go ahead? Oh, I grew up in America, so I remember going to Plymouth Plantation and seeing all of this stuff and being, like, so amazed that these people actually paved this way. They wrote a Declaration of Independence and someone listened to it, you know? And then when I see now, I see that this is Egypt's Declaration of Independence. And what we're watching today, that's what it is. I mean...
Ibrahim?
Well, despite the fact that Boston is a great city and is the heart of the American Revolution, nothing has hurt me more about this whole thing other than the fact that I'm not in Cairo right now. Because I've lived in Cairo my whole life. I've been in Boston for maybe 5 months, and then I miss this, which is the most significant event in modern Egyptian history during my lifetime. And I'm disappointed that I can't be there. I can't be protecting my family and experiencing it firsthand. But at the same time, I'm glad that I'm able to keep up with events in Egypt from here.
You know, obviously there's so much more yet to happen. Do you think that you might go back? I mean, you're just a freshman at Northeastern, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you think you might go back sooner than you planned?
I ran it past my parents and I was shut down, but I hope they're not listening right now, because I'm seriously considering buying a plane ticket and just showing up in Cairo Airport.
Hashem, did you have a thought?
Yeah, no, I agree with Habib. We all feel we would love to be on the streets of Cairo right now, but I also believe that as Egyptians here in the United States, we have an important role to educate the population here and people here, because we can all acknowledge that the U.S. has a public image problem in the Middle East, and this is the chance for the U.S. to stand on the right side of history, to not be perceived as the person who's providing the tear bombs against people who are demonstrating, but to come up and unequivocally say Mubarak needs to step down. Egyptian people deserve their freedom.
I want to get one more call in here. Paul is calling from Waltham. Welcome to Radio Boston, Paul. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I believe that the USA does support the democratic revolution that's going on right now, and it's absolutely necessary if there is widespread poverty and abuse of the citizens. But what are the youth going to do to prevent full Sharia law from taking place if that were to occur, and preserve full democracy?
Paul, thanks for your call. Habib, your thoughts on that?
Well, I'd definitely say that every opposition group in the country does have an equal and legitimate claim to run for and to press for seats for parliament, for example. And I believe that that's been one of the key strong points in why the U.S. has been defending Hosni Mubarak over the last, I mean, for his reign. I mean, he's one of his main policies was that he's been trying to drive the Muslim Brotherhood underground for a long, long time, and we've seen that happen for a long time. They've been oppressed by him, and I see that as one of the main reasons why the U.S. does not want to just let go of him all of a sudden. So, but I would say that every party does have a legitimate claim, and we can't just rule anything out just because of their policies.
I want to ask you all one last question in the last minute or so we have here. You are the vanguard of young people representing Egypt. And today, over the course of the day, I was wondering, did you ever have, you know, in these past 9 days, the temptation or even the wonder in your mind to ask your parents, why did this have to fall to us?
I mean, that's a difficult question.
Well, in my opinion, if anyone was going to make change, it was going to be the youth, because the older people have been so used to Mubarak's regime. And to be honest, the ruling class is also associated with the very distinct high class that exists in Egypt, and they've benefited under Mubarak's regime, so change does not benefit them in any way. It was always going to be the middle to lower class youth, and I'm glad that something's finally happened.
I mean, it's very difficult for Egyptians to just come out, even now, for older Egyptians, I think everyone can agree with me, to come out right now and say Mubarak should leave immediately, especially ones that come from the upper classes. I mean, they've benefited from him being in power and even in dictatorial power for this long. They don't want to let go of that.
And finally, Hashem, I heard that you have a poem that you might want to read for us.
I do. So this is a poem written by Hodal Tome, and for full disclosure, she's my wife. People of the world come together and unite. This isn't about politics, who's left and who's right. It isn't about religious belief, who's wrong and who's right. It's about freedom, which we all believe is a basic human right. Support the people of Egypt's right to stand up and protest. It's time for the world to speak up and put their souls to rest. Egyptians have long been patient. 30 years they've been oppressed. Today brings great hardship, but I'm sure tomorrow will bring the best.
Hashem Hamoda, he's 30 years old and an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard University. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Megan.
Ina El Hadidi, 25 years old and a part-time student at UMass Boston. True pleasure to have you on Radio Boston.
Thanks, Magna.
Ibrahim Samir, an 18-year-old freshman at Northeastern University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Habib El Magrisi, also 18, also a freshman at Northeastern, Ibrahim's roommate. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We'll go out with some more sounds of the youth on the streets of Cairo today.
They are throwing lots of big stones. We're not talking about small stones. We're talking about people who are injured. We're talking about more blood. We need doctors. If anyone had hope that maybe the Mubarak regime had any intention of reform, today that hope should be completely shattered, really. I'm really worried sick. The worst thing that anyone wants to see is Egyptians throwing rocks at each other. So what I wanted to tell all protesters, please, if you love this country as much as I do, and I know that you all do, please go home.
Back after a short break, this is Radio Boston.